Well, I knew something was happening whenever I went upstairs to get the microphone, and all of a sudden everything I had prepared was just gone. I knew God was going to do something a little bit different at that point. He told me to go do something, and at first I was a little reluctant to do it. I don't know if I've used this example before. How many know who were here 8:30 on Sunday morning and 10 o'clock this past Sunday morning? How many of you know that there was some resemblance in those two messages? Did you hear anything similar? Did it sound like they, you know, Gary and Pastor Dave had gotten together and they talked and they discussed, okay, you say this scripture and then I'll say it, and then you say this other one and I'll say it. And I talked to both of them and they both individually said, I had no idea what the other one was going to say. Did you hear what the Holy Ghost was saying to us? That's the most important part, what he was saying to us. He used the examples of Paul. And I want you, even if you were here, to get the 8:30 service. And I already talked with another individual that was sitting here listening. Something happened in the spirit. When Gary got to the point where he was talking about Paul was in prison, he lived a life in the perfect will of God. And here he was at the last moments of his life. The last moments. And just as Gary was talking about, I have nothing left to offer but my life. At that moment, there was something that settled over this whole audience. Something in the spirit happened right then. And I want you to listen to that. I want you to pick up on that. You see, there's a place that he's wanting us to go to. And I had no idea that this was going to come out of my mouth. There's a place he wants us to go to where if he says to you, tomorrow they're going to offer you up, that you're going to say yes. Tomorrow will be the last day of your life. Can you do that? The time that you do that is now. It's not then. The time is now. Now is when we prepare ourselves. Now, I was thinking about all over the place right at this time period. Yeah, a lot of young men out playing, practicing football, getting ready for the big game, high school football season. Over and over and over, they do the same drills, the same plays, over and over and over again in the hot, beating down sun. For one thing, because they want to play under the lights on Friday night. That's the big thing for them. But their coach will sit there and tell them, same play, over, do it over again, do it over again. How many of you think that they enjoy that? There's no joy in the practice. There's absolutely no joy in the practice. The joy is whenever you're out there on Friday night and you're running down the field with the ball in your hand. That's when the joy comes. But you don't get there. You don't walk up on the field and say, okay, coach, I'm ready to go. Just put me on the field Friday night. I can do it. That's not the way it works. There's hours and hours and hours of preparation. And it's not fun. Sitting there praying in tongues for hours, it's not fun, but there's something ahead of us. There's something that I want you to focus your attention on, and that's the revival that's pouring out. I want you to see that. This is what he told me to go get out of my car. The owner's manual for my car. Tells you all the detailed things to do in order to keep your car maintained. The person that designed that vehicle, they sit down and they wrote this book and they said, these are the things that you need to do in order to make sure that that automobile runs the way it's supposed to run. These are the things that you do. When it says use a wrench, you use a wrench. When it says use oil, you use oil. As long as you do exactly what this owner's manual says to do, that car is going to run the way it's supposed to. It's not because someone walked up to me and said, here, I think this will work. No, the manufacturer gave this to me and said, here, use this. Follow these instructions. So you open it up. Okay, I can do that. I can follow those instructions. I can do exactly what it says to do. And I will have the results that it says that I'm going to have. Not because somebody else told me. Here's the owner's manual that the Creator gave us and told us, if you will follow these instructions, you'll have the results. One of the things I was going to preach about tonight, I may get to it in John chapter 6. It was after they had multiplied, Jesus had multiplied the loaves and the fish. It's after he had walked on the sea and the people had followed him. And he looked at him and he said, you didn't follow me because of the miracles. You simply followed me just because of the loaves and the fish. You were following me for the material things, the things that you could see. And they went on in that whole chapter, and they were talking about the things that they could see, supplying the things they could see, doing the things in the natural. This is not a walk of having it first. It's a walk of believing first, and then you receive it. It's not vice versa. You don't have it first. You believe it first, and you thank Him for it first, and then you receive it. But I want to see it first. It doesn't work that way. And as long as that's your mentality, that you have to see it first, you're going to have an uphill battle because it's not going to work for you. You have to thank Him, just like we were doing earlier. You have to thank Him in the middle of the battle, in the middle of whatever hell has thrown at you. You have to raise up your hands and thank God for the answer. Thank God that His Word is truth and it cannot change and He cannot lie. No matter what the circumstances are going to always be around us. They're always going to be here. You might get done with one battle, and guess what? There's going to be another one. It's inevitable. But He gave you the answer right here. This is it. He's already put it in your hands. All you have to do is put it in your mouth. All you have to do is thank Him for the results. Not whenever you see it. Don't wait for the time that you see it. It doesn't work that way. How many of you know that already? Raise your hand. You know it's not going to work that way, is it? It's going to work when you thank Him in the middle of the battle. Thank Him for it. Because guess what? If I heard correctly Sunday morning, what we're going to be walking into, guess what? It's not going to be fun. Your flesh may not like it. Your spirit man will rejoice. But your flesh man, it may not like it. So right now is the time to prepare for that. Right now, this is it. I mean, we're sitting here in air conditioning. You probably came here in a car. You probably didn't have to walk 10 miles to get here. You probably have electricity at your house, a roof over your head, food in the cupboards. Amen? Those are all wonderful things. And I thank God for it. But you know, if you go on the other side of the earth, that there are Christian believers that have none of that, and they're still believers. And they still worship God and they thank God. I get frustrated with myself when, you know, simple little things like bills, maybe they get me down a little bit. That's frustrating. It shouldn't be that way. God's word didn't change, did it? It didn't change. He didn't lie. He told the truth. He is truth. He can't lie. You can depend on His word. It's like Pastor Dave says, 10 million years from now, He's not going to get up and say, I'm tired of the bunch of you and just get rid of us. He can't do that because He can't change. He can't change. He can't lie. And that gives me great comfort and great peace. Because I don't have to look at how the circumstances are treating me today and decide whether or not I'm going to worship God. Don't have to do that. I can worship God regardless of the circumstances. And you know what? The devil hates that. He hates it. Do you know that? He hates it. Once he came up and he just gave you the best shot right in the gut. And what did you do? You raised up your hands and you said, oh, thank you, Lord, I have the answer. Isn't that right? Thank you, Jesus, I have the answer. Thank you, Jesus, all of my needs are met. Thank you, Jesus, I'm walking in peace. Thank you, Jesus. That's what we have to walk in. Walking in revival. It's not going to be a cakewalk walking into revival. It just isn't going to be. When we're in revival, it's not going to be easy. Train now. Do this now. And by all means, don't look at empty seats. And don't listen to voices that say, this stuff doesn't work. You know what? This owner's manual tells me what works. Not because some person told me. The owner gave me the owner's manual and said, use this, do this. It just so happened Dave took the owner's manual, found out some things that I didn't know worked, and he said, look, this works. And you know what? I did it. Not because he said it worked, I just did it. And guess what? Praying in tongues works. It just works. You want to get revelation knowledge? Pray in tongues. You want to have God, the Holy Ghost, leading you through every kind of situation in your life? Pray in tongues. You want to stop being an ugly person? Pray in tongues. It won't happen overnight, but we'll bear with you as long as you're on the changing process of getting pretty. Just don't stop. Just don't stop. I think he's going to let me preach a little bit of what he was sharing with me. And this is kind of in line with what the word was on Sunday morning. So turn over to John. We're going to start in John. I love John. In chapter 2. Start in verse 13. John 2:13. Been going through the book of John, assimilating it. Been really focused on John chapter 1 through 6. Hoping to let me speak a little bit from chapter 6. 2:13. After this, I'm going to start in 12. After this, he went down to Capernaum, and his mother and his disciples. Wait a minute. Yeah. He and his mother and his disciples and they continued there not many days. Verse 13, and the Jews' Passover was at hand. Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers of money and overthrew the tables. and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. Now look up at me. How many of you would have enjoyed that day walking hand in hand with Jesus? Raise your hand. Would you have enjoyed? That would have been a great day. We get to, Jesus, let's go do something fun today. What do you want to do, Jesus? Well, let's go in the temple and let's just throw all the money changers' tables over. And let's just throw all of the stuff out of the temple. How about that? We're just going to tear up church today. Does that sound good? Oh, yeah, Jesus. I'm looking forward to that. Now picture yourself. Picture yourself. It's the Passover. It's, you know, you're walking in. Got your hand in hand with Jesus. And everything is just so. And the next thing you know, he looks up. He starts throwing over the money changers. He starts tearing everything up. I want to ask you, how do you feel at that moment? At that moment, you're standing there with Jesus. And he's tearing everything up. How do you feel right then? Lord, can I go somewhere else? Can I go do something else today, Jesus? I'll tell you what. I'll take the money and I'll go watch it outside. And you take care of stuff inside, Jesus. I don't really want to do that today. You know, Jesus does some things that's not real popular. He stirs up things. And I believe in the days ahead, he's going to ask us to do some things that aren't popular. He's going to ask you, are you ready? Are you ready to do things that aren't comfortable? I mean, really. You know, we come here, it's so nice here. I mean, really. I know there's issues in the, you know, with the building stuff, but look at where we are. It's beautiful. You go into most of the rest of the world. I mean, some churches, you go in South America, they're just dirt floors. You come in here and it's got air conditioning. Everything's just right. But one day in the future, Jesus may just come over and just reach out his hand and say, come here. Follow me. I want you to go here where it's not comfortable. I want you to do some things that some people may look at you. They may say, oh, that can't be God. That can't be God. You're going to have, like Gary says, a backbone of steel for the days ahead. A backbone of steel. Now is the time to get that backbone of steel. Now, when it's comfortable and we're sitting here in the air conditioning and we're enjoying each other and everything's nice, nobody's talking ugly about us that we know of, at least. Because Jesus asks people to do things that aren't popular. Jesus is going to ask us to do things that is going to take something more than just a mamby-pamby walk to fulfill. I've read the back of the book. The back of the book is not, oh my goodness, Jesus. Are we out of here before the very end? Can you tell me that, Lord? Because, oh, some of these things, Lord, they're not fun. I don't know, you know, if the air conditioning goes out, what am I going to do? I'm serious now. This is important. Here's the message to prepare you. This is it. This is the message that will prepare you to walk into the face of hell, into the fire, and not be afraid to walk in. And to walk out. You know, if we could beg you to do it, I think we would, if we knew it'd work. Honestly. I'm being honest. It's that important. It honestly is. It's that important for what we're going to step into. I mean, just think. You're going to have, picture this in your mind, all the way around, all this green line is, this green line is full of every kind of deformity, every kind of sickness, every kind of sinner. It's full all the way around, all the way around. Do you think it's going to get some attention from the enemy whenever the power of God floods in here, up one side, down the other? Nobody can stand because the presence of God is so thick that you could cut it with a knife. Do you think the enemy's going to retaliate? And we're concerned right now with what our lives are like today. I want you to hear me. When this when this green line is chock full of people, and it's deep with people, and the vision that Dave saw of the ambulances are out the driveway and down the road bringing people in. Look, we don't want to lose you. We don't want you to become a casualty. Well, Mark, I don't want to be a casualty. Whatever you're doing spiritually, try to bump it up a little bit more. And then try to bump it up a little bit more than that. And then try to bump it up just a little bit more. You know, if you're doing weight training, guy walks in, sits down on a weight bench. Oh, just stack it up. Put all the weight on there. You know, like Pastor Dave with his big arms. You know, he could lift it all, man. That right? No. You go in there. You put just enough so there's a little bit of pressure. You work with that for a while. Get good at that. And put a little bit more on. See, here's what happens. We teach this message. People get all excited about this message. They go out and they start trying to pray, you know, 40 hours a week and work a 40-hour-a-week job. And then they do that for a while and they get totally exhausted and they say, I can't do this. It's not working. And the next thing they know, they're gone. Start out with something feasible. If you're working a 40-hour-a-week, hey, just put enough weight on there so it's a little bit of pressure for you, okay? A 40-hour-a-week job. Hey, let's start out with trying to do 30 minutes of praying in tongues and meditating the Word. Just get the Word out. Just let your eyes roll over it. Read. Pray in tongues. Put a little bit of pressure. Do that. Do that for a couple of weeks. Then try to bump it up a little bit. Because I'll be honest with you. I've been around hearing this message for years now. And it's heartbreaking, heartbreaking when I hear people badmouth it that have been doing it and they say it doesn't work. It hurts me because I know it works. I know it does. Hey, I've watched over the years, over the 20 years since the first tape came in my hand, I've watched God walk my wife and I all the way through mess after mess, situation after situation, brought us here, put me on a platform with a mic in my hand. My God, can't you see? I didn't plan this. This is praying in tongues. Brought me here. All right, let's go to another example. So our first example, Jesus walked into the temple. Walks into the temple, throws all the money changers down. Everybody's upset. Let's go over to John 5. I'm going to start reading in verse 7. Now we better start a little bit before that. Let me start in verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first at the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Verse 5. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Verse 10. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It's the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed. Let's stop right there. You can't do this. We've got rules. We've got rules here. Don't you hear me? We've got rules and you can't. What's the power of God? Come on. We've got rules and you got to follow these things now. Come on. What did Jesus do? First he goes in and messes the temple up. Now it's the Sabbath day. Doesn't he know we're supposed to not do stuff like this on the Sabbath? Keep reading. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same, said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up, you can almost hear it in their voice, you know, kind of got their chest stuck out a little bit. What man is there that asked thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he said, He that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth them in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus. Wait a minute. Did you see this word? They persecuted him and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. All right, look up at me. If you don't think that we live in a time period that there's going to be some persecution, now follow me. The good part is we have the answer. That's the good part. There's going to be people that are going to suffer that don't have the answer. We need to take this message to them. You know what I'm saying? You see, no matter what hell surrounds me, I have a party going on inside here. There's a party right inside here. No matter what's going on around me, there's a party. You see, I've learned how to worship God. I've learned that no matter where I am on the face of this earth, I don't care where it is. All I have to do is just check in on the inside and worship Jesus. Thank Jesus and rejoice. And there's a peace that settles down inside of me. And I have a knowing. There's a knowing, folks. Look, March 23rd of this year, I walked away from a job with a regular paycheck and into Jesus, trusting He would take care of me. It wasn't something I did overnight. It was something that took prayer, listening, making sure, checking it out with my wife, both of us knowing in our hearts that was God. But then when that time came, guess what? You step into Him and you know that He's going to be there and take care of you. Don't do it foolishly. Don't just go quit your job and expect God to take care of you, because you'll be on your own. You'll be on your own. See, I've done that in the past. I know what failure feels like. And I know what success feels like in Him. And I know now that I have followed Him and Debbie has followed Him into exactly what He has for us. It's a big difference. Big difference. What's in the future for us? Well, I know right now what He's wanting me to do is spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer, get myself built up. And that's what I'm doing. Don't call me during the daytime, because it'll just probably go to the answering service, and because I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to Him. I want to know what He has to say. And I know that I'm talking to a room full of people that love Jesus. A lot of you, raise up your hand if you moved somewhere to come here. Raise your hand. I want to see. Look at all these people. You moved from somewhere else to come to this place. You're serious. You are just so serious. You know, when you tell people, how many of you enjoy telling your family and your friends, yeah, I'm going to move to Tulsa, Oklahoma. What are you going to do? Go there for? Oh, a church. Yeah, what? I'm going to go there for a church. Because we're receiving revival. You're doing what? Revival, that's 5 days during the week sometime, right? You all know what I'm talking about. It's easy to get weary along this path. It's easy. It's easy to pray in tongues a long time and look and say, God, where are we at? Has anybody ever experienced that weariness? It's all right. You can raise your hand a little bit. That's okay. Tell the truth. We're in church. If you haven't, I want your autograph when we leave here. Because there's a weariness. There's a looking around saying, dear God, what's going on? And you sit there and you stick your nose in the Word. I'm telling you what, folks. Listen to somebody that has experienced it both ways. I've been moved around by circumstances. I've done that. It hurts. It's frustrating. It's annoying. And I've also done this. Stuck my nose in the Word. Worshiped God. Thanked Him despite the circumstances for what He said in His Word that He would provide for me. What He would do for me. And it produces. I like to know something that works, don't you? I like to know in that owner's manual, when I take that wrench and I put that on that nut and I turn it and I do those things, that it works, that I get the results. The owner's manual here says, if you pray in tongues, the Holy Ghost is going to go out in front of you and He's going to prepare that path for you to walk in, and you're going to walk directly into the perfect will, plan, and purpose of God for your life. When it doesn't look like it. When things have happened. I think Gary used this example a while back and I really liked it. On these GPSs. You know, whenever you set that address in that GPS and you go out in that direction wherever it says to go, and it says, okay, right turn ahead, and you miss that right turn and you keep going straight, and it says recalculating. I love that. Because you can miss it, and the Holy Ghost recalculates and puts you back on course again. I don't like missing it, But you know, there are just times that, hey, we're not perfect. Sometimes you got your eye off the ball and you walked into something, you did something, and you knew, Lord, I missed it. You repent, and He recalculates, and He puts you right back on course again. I love that. All right, let's go to, He's going to let me do a little bit, not very much, out of John chapter 6. Go over to John chapter 6. We're looking towards the end of the chapter here. So again, starting verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which has come down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it's the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of the Father. For that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Stop right there. Many of the disciples. Many. Does it say many in your Bible? How many is many? Here he is. Jesus is teaching. He says to them, to a group of Jewish people, he's talking this way to them, drink my blood. If you go all the way back in Genesis and you look, when Noah got off of the ark, Jesus gave him specific instructions on what to do with that blood. You're not to drink that blood. He said that the animals are going to obey you unless you kill and you eat the meat with the blood in it, then the animals are going to chase you down. If you go over to Leviticus chapter 17, and you look at what in the law, the commandments regarding the blood. You see, folks, the life's in the blood. And it had to be poured out as an offering, an atonement for the people. If they ate it, they ate it as a curse to them. So here's Jesus with this crowd of people. What's he giving them? He can only give them truth. He speaks to them and he says something that to their ears, it's like, are you saying to be cannibals? To eat your flesh? To drink your blood? It goes against the law. This can't be right. What you're saying to us, it can't be right. And I'm leaving right now. I'm not walking with you anymore. Because what you said, it offended me. And you know he only spoke truth. What was he saying? I understand this a little bit more Because I've looked at what it means to be in a covenant. I've talked about this many times before, so I'm not going to go into great detail. But what he's talking to them about is, it's a covenant ritual where you partake. You partake of symbolic, the symbol of blood, the wine. You eat of the bread, the symbol of the flesh. You're joining yourself to another person. Jesus is saying to them, you're going to join yourself to me. I'm going to get raised up on a cross. I'm going to die for you. And I want you to become one with me in the sacrifice that I'm about to give, which is my flesh, that I'm going to offer up for you. But my point in saying all that is this. Did Jesus back off from saying it? Do you think he knew in his mind how that was going to affect them? Do you think he knew that there were going to be some of them that were going to back up and walk away from him? And he even turned around and looked at some of the other ones and said, you can go too. Are you going to go? Take off. What did he not do? He didn't apologize for the truth. The truth is the truth, and there's no apology for it. There's no political correctness in God. None whatsoever. There's absolutely none. And I want you to understand that not where we're going necessarily. Yes, we're going there. But where he wants you to go individually. You make a choice. Are you individually willing to follow him? Wherever he says go, whatever he says do. We're walking into revival. Folks, there's going to be some flack thrown at us as a result. Oh, I can guarantee it. Hey, you get some people in here with some alternative lifestyles that get set free, and you're going to get some attention. You get some people in here that are living in sin of all kind that people are trying to say is right, and you get them set free from it, you're going to get some attention. And it may not be what you think is right or what you want. And it may be uncomfortable. And you might get offended and walk away. Please don't. Decide now. Do the work on your knees right now in preparation for those times ahead. Because I can 100% guarantee you they're coming. 100%. Not 50. Not 60, 100. We're going to face it in our lifetime. And it's time right now that you get yourself built up. You deal with the things right now inside of you that the enemy can come in and twist and put you on your knees. It's those things that you know, the rest of the world says is okay. The rest of the world says it's acceptable. But it's the thing that the enemy's going to use to put you down and to run you off. It's going to be issues with fear. It's going to be issues of rejection. It's going to be issues of dealing with lack. How to deal with lack. It's going to be all kind of things that right now you're kind of let sitting. Right there, right under the surface. And it's okay right now. And there's not a lot of pressure right now. So you can live with it. But what I'm telling you is, the days ahead won't let you live with it. It's not possible. It's just not possible. And Jesus is not going to change his message for you. He's not. He's going to say, I want you to stand there, Mark, and I want you to open your mouth, and I want you to say what I put in it. And if you don't, it's disobedience. Hey, we came to the wrong church if we want to live a life sheltered and not really understanding about the Bible and what it means to be a Christian. This is the wrong place. Our level of accountability is way up here. You're accountable. You came here. You're accountable. I'm accountable. We're all accountable for the revelation knowledge that we hear. And you can say it doesn't work. You can say you don't like it. You can say whatever you want to say. It's not going to change the truth. It's not going to change the revelation. And you've heard it. You're accountable. That's it. It's it. What I want you to do is I want you to rejoice and thank God you heard truth and it works. And whatever anybody says, it still works. Hallelujah. We have the answer. We rejoice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just stand up with me. Let's just thank the Lord for the truth He's given us. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for truth. Just raise up your hands. We thank you for truth.